Let's start some. Let's start Yerushalmi, okay? Which I know is a little bit of a challenge, but a fun challenge, I think. Okay, so I told you guys before you started preparing, that there's a halacha by Shmita called Tosefes Shviyas, or Tosefes Shmita, which means that even though all these prohibitions start at Rosh Hashanah, there are certain specific things that rabbinically you can't do prior to Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so I'll ask you a question. Why would you think that's the case? Let's think about that for a second. It's an easy question. In other words, on Shemitah itself, there are a lot of D'oraisa gardening prohibitions. For instance, planting. You cannot plant during the Shemitah year. So Chazal come along and say, okay, well, we're going to now create Tosefes Shviyas, which means that there's going to be specific activities you can't even do prior to Shemitah. Okay, why would they institute that? Because take what Yonatan's saying, taking a step back, basically, it's more like we want to make sure that you are not to engage in the rice activity during Shemitah.
You already had like a field set up, like
right.
Even working it until like literally yesterday.
Right. Okay. And also, when it comes to planting, planting gets tricky because depending on when you plant something and when the produce grows, will determine whether it's a 6-year produce or 7-year produce. Just as an example, in my house, so I have an orange tree in my front yard. Right, the oranges already were budding prior to Rosh Hashanah. So those oranges this year will not be Shemitah produce. When will they be Shemitah? Next year. That's why I always tell people, remember, Shemitah is a 2-year problem, so to speak. It's 2 years. It's not 1 year. Yeah. I know. It's crazy. All right. I think. So what's Harisha? What does Harisha mean? Plowing. Okay. Harisha is plowing. Plowing is a big no-no, right, during Shemitah. All right. Just also background. Which malachas do the Torah tell us are prohibited to do during Shemitah year in your garden? What malachas?
Watering.
What? Nope.
Plowing.
Keep planting. Okay. What else?
Threshing.
Threshing? No.
Threshing.
I used like a halacha word.
An agricultural word.
Yeah.
Well, there's charish, right? That's plowing. What's katsir?
Cutting,
harvesting. Okay, good. So you'll see the Torah actually only lists 4 total, all right? And then what do Chazal do? Like they always do, they derive out from these categories the specifics. Okay. So now the Mishnah is going to tell us, now that we know about Harisha during Tosefes Shviyas, okay, now we're going to talk about other malachas, other actions that you can't do prior to Shemitah starting. Okay, who's reading today? Oh, you got the Hebrew, perfect. Mizavlin. You guys follow the English. Don't worry, I'll translate.
Mizavlin?
What does Mizavlin mean? What's Zebel?
It's manure.
Manure. All right. Now, this is obvious. Manure's usage and fields is?
Fertilizer.
Okay, so you can't... You're allowed... Okay, fertilizing you can do? What's the next one?
Not everything.
The Hebrew stuff?
Just read the boldface one.
Uma-adrin.
What's Uma-adrin? What's Uma-adrin?
Hoeing.
What? Well, okay, now that's a lot like
plowing,
right? Hoeing and plowing are very, very similar.
No, anyway, is that not the same?
They bunch them together.
Oh, no, they're considered like Harisha.
Yeah, because like, you're literally you're pulling up.
Right. Dirt, so. Okay, good. You'll notice a lot of similarities between Malacha of Shabbos and Malacha by Shemitah. Again, it's like kind of like the same thing, but not. So you're allowed to hoe. Keep going.
All
right, so we'll stick to Kishuim. What are Kishuim? What's what? No. What's Kishuim? Oh my God. What's a Kishua? Does it say in here? Mikshaos. What does it say? No, it's over here.
It's over here. The gourd.
Okay, good. Where is it? Gourd. Melons and gourds. Okay, we'll use zucchini. There you go. Okay. You can apply fertilizer and you can go at hoe when it comes to the planting of zucchini. Ad Rosh Hashanah, until Rosh Hashanah. Okay, why? I'm curious. Why would that be the case?
Zucchini and melon produce at the end of the summer.
And therefore,
when you are working,
you have your field of zucchini. Okay, yeah. It's already there. So what are you doing when you apply fertilizer or hoe around the zucchinis? You're doing something for the sake of. Perosh shishis, 6-year fruits. So don't worry about the actual actions. Just worry about, think about what you're doing. You're, I don't care if you're hoeing. What you're doing is that you're doing a 6th fruit action. So as long as your action is clearly indicated for sixth year stuff, then it's mutter to do until Rosh Hashanah.
Right, okay.
Whereas, v'chein,
kibayim. So it doesn't necessarily need to be melons or gourds.
Right, let's just use as an example. I mean, as long as it's, right, these are good examples, but extrapolate. As long as what you're doing, it's clear in your action that it's a sixth year benefit action, yeah, you're good to go. V'chein? Okay, so what's a beis hashlachim?
Irrigated field.
Well, okay, can you explain what that is, though?
It has, like, rivers going through.
Okay, good.
Gets all the produce.
Okay, good. And therefore, what you could also fertilize and hoe in those kind of fields. Okay, fine. So, again, who cares about the specifics? Irrelevant. The main point is, as long as my actions are sixth-year actions, they're for the sixth help... For the benefit of six-year produce, it's perfectly fine to do until Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Keep going.
Miyavlin.
Okay, now we're going to get to a stay ilan. What's stay ilan? What's an ilan?
It's an orchard.
Okay, good. Now, orchard. Now, remember, in orchards, you have trees. You guys ever been in an orchard before?
Yeah.
Right, so you have trees spread out over a large area, separate from each other. Okay, so what can you do there? Miyavlin.
Umifarkin.
What's miyavlin?
Excise blemishes.
Right, so you could take off like these damaging growths. What's a mefarkim?
Excise terminology, Joe.
Remove excess leaves.
Okay, now,
well,
by the way.
Mara does define these later on.
I know. But think about it. Misarkim, you see, when you read this Mishnah, you should already start getting a little nervous. Well, sort of. Misarkim, you can remove leaves. Now, what's an Isser de Orisa during Shemitah year?
Removing leaves.
Which is pruning. What's pruning?
Like trimming leaves, making them pretty.
Interesting, Noam. Interesting. Pruning, the Issa D'Oraisa pruning is to remove leaves to promote growth. However, pruning for the sake of aesthetics is actually mutter. Okay? Notice how your intention defines the action. All right? So here, you're pruning. You're definitely pruning, but, and again, we're talking about before Shemitah, but it's okay. Or Uma'avkin. What's that? Oh my God! Look, I'm going to read the Hebrew for you. Mechasim be'avak esharshe etchin is galah b'charev. You can cover the
roots. That have become
exactly. When the roots get exposed, you want to cover them up for the winter so it doesn't get damaged. Or umashnin, you can create like these smoke type things to kill off all the worms. Yeah.
Fumigation.
Good fumigation until Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so now if we took again taking a step back, do we really care about these specifics at this point? No. What do we see in general? We see
the theme of 6 years.
Thank you. That's all you have to know. 6 year theme. Good. Next.
Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, "Af no tel hu es he Allah min ha eshkol b'shvius."
Now, what does that mean?
Take the leaves. It's eshkol.
What's an eshkol of peros? What's an eshkol of grapes?
Cluster.
Thank you.
Cluster.
So, that's a cluster. Okay. So, good. So, Rav Shimon says, you're allowed to actually take the leaves off the cluster of grapes during Shemitah itself. Why? Or what's the chiddush? We don't know his reason yet, but why would you say the Mishnah is telling this to us? Because, that sounds crazy. Because what are you not allowed to do during Shemitah? Pick leaves off things. So we're going to have to find out, why can you take the leaves off grape clusters during Shemitah? Okay. Next.
Nisaklin.
Oh, I remember this. This is a great little area. Nisaklin. Now, what does that mean?
Removing like the stones from the field.
Ad Rosh Hashanah. Why would you think it's a problem to remove... Why is it a problem to remove large boulders from your field during Shemitah?
Well, the reason why you remove the large boulders is so that you can use that area for planting.
Good. So I cannot... So you'll see the halachas are so funny. The Gemara is very funny about this. But I cannot take large boulders from my field, right? Again, a field that's meant for planting. All right? Doesn't mean like in the desert. Can't do it during Shemitah, but I can do that prior to Shemitah. What else? Mekarsamin?
Karsamin, Mizardin.
Well, what's Mekarsamin? I want each one translated.
Removing dried up leaves from the tree.
Right. Removing dried branches. Okay?
Okay.
And off of my branches. Okay? So I can take off dead wood. What else?
Mizardin.
I can cut a little bit off the... Look, chosin mixas benafa shalion. I can cut a little bit off the branches off the tree. When there's too many. Okay, and finally...
Mufasli.
What's that? No limit Elon, it's a psolus shalom. You know what psolus is. What's psolus? From Borer.
The bad.
Yeah, I can remove the garbage from the tree. Ad Rosh Hashanah. Great. Okay, anything new we learned from here? Well, we'll have to understand why... Are these all clearly perish shvius shishas actions? No.
They're just caring for the tree.
Right, so we're going to have to find out. The Gemara will explain to us, hopefully... why the Mishnah is citing these halachas. Next, Rabbi Yeshua.
Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Zeruda, Upasula, Shel Chamishis, Kain Shel Shishis.
Now, what does that mean?
Stuff of the fifth year is like the sixth year.
Okay, just like I can go ahead and fertilize and remove. Sorry. What did I say? Fertilize? No, I'm sorry, not fertilize. I'm sorry. Remove the psoles, right, during the sixth year, okay? On fe'ilon shesam kol chamishis, any trees that grew branches in the fifth year. So too, on the seventh year, I can go ahead and remove branches that were growing during the sixth year. Why not?
That reasoning is strange. Because
really?
The fifth year and the sixth year is a normal year. The seventh year is shmita.
Yeah, the only, so without stuff, the, one second, stuff that you
so without giving really... a svara yet, without giving any real svara, let's just set up this question. It's an interesting question. It's a very interesting question. Because I have a tree in my front yard, and it has branches on it, and I watched a branch grow, a little tiny branch, I named it Zucker. It started off in the beginning of the sixth year, and it turned into an adult Zucker by shmita. Okay? Now it's shmita time. So how do I look at that branch? Is it a sixth-year branch or is it a seventh-year branch? Well, when it comes to
you planted the branch,
but when it okay, but when it comes to fruits, we certainly define fruits as sixth-year versus seventh-year. So,
but is the tree like the tree isn't like
produced. Just to let you know, the what the Gemara is going to do is in Yerushalmi, similar to Bavli, it's going to tackle each one of these things and give us a lot, hopefully a lot more information. Right now we have very little information. Okay, just one more line in the Mishnah. What does that mean?
Well, the whole time that I'm allowed to, I guess, work on the tree, you're allowed to take off the bad stuff.
Okay, so as long as I'm allowed to work on the tree, and as Art Scroll explains, which is true, when can I do, I can do d'oraisa labor on trees, right, until Shavuos. Okay? Again, we're before Shemitah now. Shemitah, right? Shemitah year starts, Issur D'oraisa. Chazal come along and say, from Shavuos on, you cannot do any D'oraisa work on trees. So he's a very simple equation. He says, as long as I'm allowed to do, let's say, plowing, which is D'oraisa, right? Then I can also do any rabbinical activity on the tree, right? And when I'm no longer allowed to do the D'oraisa activity on the tree, I can't do the rabbinical as well. Does everyone understand that? Do I need to write that on the board? That's not, I don't know if that's board worthy. No, that's not Rav Shimon. No, this is Rav Shimon. So is that clear? Again, one more time. Yeah, I'll make sure you guys understand this, okay? According to Rav Shimon says that we know when Rosh Hashanah starts, it is a Torah prohibition to plow. Okay, cannot plow. Chazal come along and say, you cannot plow from Shavuos on, Midurabanan, right? Rabbinically, I cannot plow from Shavuos until Rosh Hashanah. Why? To get you out of the habit of plowing. Let's assume that's the case. I'm going to break you the habit from plowing. Okay? Okay. So he has a very simple equation, Rosh Hashanah. Anything that's prohibited to do from Shavuos on, Midoraisa prohibition, Midorabanan as well. Okay? Any Torah prohibition that the Chazal say I can't do from Shavuos on applies to rabbinical ones. But then after Shavuos, anything that I'm not allowed to do Mipi Chazal, I also can't do Mipi Rabbanan as well. Is that clear? No, I'm gonna write it on the board.
The machos. They fertilize the zucchinis.
Okay, so we're gonna talk about zucchinis for a while. Lahem.
So, are you allowed to plow for that?
Okay, we're gonna ask an excellent question. The Mishnah says I can't do. I'm gonna classify the actions like this. I can't do secondary actions, right? I cannot do a secondary action of fertilizing, right? I can do a secondary action of fertilizing. So the Gemara wants to know, can I do the primary action of plowing? Is that why am I calling one secondary and one primary?
Because one helps.
No, think more halakhically. Harisha is primary, plowing is primary, fertilizing is secondary. I know agriculturally are too, but I want to know halakhically. Because one is an isser.
When you say primary and secondary, you're saying
D'oraisa D'rabanan. Okay. Yes. Harisha is an Isser D'oraisa in Shemitah. Zevel, right, putting on fertilizer is rabbinical, okay? But you understand the logic, forget the specifics. What's the logic of the question of the Gemara? What's its logic? What's the logic of it?
How are we bunching Duraitas and Durabans?
More than that. Come on. Better, better, better. What's the logic of the Gemara? What's the Gemara's question?
Why are we starting with a Durabana instead of just going...
Well, if you tell me the Durabana's mutter... Well, once in a while, if you tell me the Durabana's mutter, right, then shouldn't the Duraitas be mutter as well?
Well, I mean, it is.
Well, mahu lachor shlahem.
Well, then it's
called. But look at the next line. Don't cheat ahead yet. Just appreciate the question. All right, Yerushalmi is much more terse. So you got to like just take a step back and reflect on the question. So it's very yeah, it is, it is. So again, so what's the question? The question is, you're going to tell me that I'm allowed to do these. I'm allowed to fertilize. Again, remember this is all during Tosefes Shvius, right? So if during the sixth year, a month before, you tell me I can fertilize, can I also go ahead and plow? Okay, so now what does Gemara say? It's very simple. Now look at the Gemara just did. It inverts. You notice the inversion here? The Gemara wants to know if the secondary thing is mutter, is the primary thing mutter? Now the Gemara switches and says, okay, well, if the primary thing is mutter, then what do we know? Then the secondary thing is mutter. This seems very convoluted, right? Why go in this order? Again, like from a logic standpoint.
Well, just why did the Mishnah state the Durabanans instead of the Durais?
So. Correct. Good. So the Gemara says, keep going.
In at mutter lo
lazadro lo lader.
In at mutter lo lazadro lo lader.
Right. So the equation is simple. That if I can go ahead and what do you call it? If I can go ahead and plow, then of course I can go ahead and do these secondary activities. But if I can't, right, then I can't do the secondary activities. Okay.
Now we're going to look at it
yes.
The other direction.
Except for one thing, except the Gemara inverts it. Because Gemara's question is, if I could do the secondary ones, can I also do the primary ones? Now the Gemara says, if I can do the primary one, I can do the secondary one. If I can't do the primary one, I can't do the secondary one. You see why it's inverted? It's not a huge difference, but it's something to note. No, you don't see that? You do see it, Arya.
I do see it.
Okay, you're wondering who cares.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So what's the Havamina here? Since you guys ran through this Gemara so quickly, there's a Havamina here. What do I mean by Havamina? Because the Gemara is asking a question. The Gemara wants to know, right? The Gemara is saying, you would think that, what's the, okay, I'm enough spoon feeding. What's the Havamina? Factually, what's the Havamina here? What would you have thought?
You could have the Durabana without the Duraisa.
The Duraisa could still be elsewhere.
Good! We separate the
because
two.
Because the Mishnah states.
The yes, good. Right. So the Havamina of the Gemara is that, well, just because the secondary thing is mutter, what does that have to do with the primary thing? The secondary thing can exist mutter, while the primary thing exists as usser. All right? Kamash Malan, that no. That once the primary thing is usser, the secondary thing gets grouped along with it. So, from a conceptual standpoint, and I ask, what's the Havamina and what's the Maskana? Or in other words, why would you say that if the secondary thing is permitted, the primary thing could be prohibited and they can exist independent from each other? Versus saying, nope, if the primary one's usser, it takes the secondary one with it. Well, and on the surface, what makes more sense, by the way? Forget what the Mishnah said. Really? Interesting. Okay. The Havamina is very easy, I think. Havamina is easy. Because, what?
Are we overthinking?
Yeah, a little bit. Remember, I told you, these are easier, much easier types of svaras. The Havamina is very easy. It's just to grapple with the facts. Yeah, Ariel. Let me demonstrate why the Havamina is much clearer than the Maskana. On the surface, which is what you should always do in a Havamina. Your objective in a Havamina is to not quite checkmate you, but put you in a position where, how's the Maskana going to escape this? Because the logic of the Havamina is very simple, okay? Harisha is an Issa Deraisa, right? Zevel is an Issa Derabanan. Oh, if you don't care, forget the words. A is an Issa Deraisa, B is an Issa Derabanan. Good. Now, Chazal come along and say, Chazal want to protect us, right? They're always looking out for interests. So, what do they do? So what do? They say prior to Shemitah, right? Prior to Shemitah, you can't do the Issa Deraisa, right? You can't do Harisha. Mi Durabanan, you can't do the Issa Deraisa. That's fine. Why would that ever include Issa Durabanan? How could that ever include an Issa Durabanan? They can't create a Durabanan, right? Like we were saying before, they can't create a Durabanan to not do an Issa Durabanan before Shemitah. How could they do such a thing? Because that's like a Durabanan and Durabanan, just like we said a second ago. The Havamina makes so much sense.
It doesn't have to be like they create a Durabanan on Shemitah and then a second Durabanan to extend it backwards.
Okay. Okay, good, good, good. Good. You're not sensing how you can get out of this, but I want to make sure the problem is clear. The Havamina is very powerful because the Havamina is saying In other words, whatever is an Isser D'Oraisa during Shemitah, right, becomes an Isser D'Rabbanan during when? During Tosefet Shviyos, right? But what are you going to say about the Isser D'Rabbanan of Shemitah? What are you going to do with that? Was it the Minug? Right, exactly. There's no method to do anything. So naturally speaking, if you look at it through the halachic construct, there's no relationship between the two. In other words, pretend they're not, don't worry about the actions. Think about them through the lens of halachic designation. As a halachic designation, a D'Oraisa and D'Rabbanan are two separate things. D'Oraisa can have a D'Rabbanan expression prior to Shemitah. But a D'Rabbanan, it can't have any expression before Shemitah.
Right.
So why would you say they're linked? So the Gemara says no. If Harisha is...
an expression before Shemitah at all, then.
Right.
No, it's like Tosefet Shemitah for this thing specifically.
For fertilizing. Right. Yes, that's right. That's why the Havina is so sensible. Good. That's what's bothering the Gemara. Gemara says, whatever applies to Harisha, primary, D'Oraisa, will apply to secondary D'Rabbanan. So if A is Usher... if A is mutter, B is mutter. And if A is usser, B is usser. Well, one second. What happened to the question? How could that be? How do you tie together these actions? Now, keep in mind, I think someone said before, keep in mind what allows me to go ahead and plow the D'Oraisa.
Well,
plow.
It actually is mutter until Rosh Hashanah, until Shemitah starts. There's no...
not plowing.
Not for plowing, but for...
Yeah.
Whatever.
Agreed. But one second. Plowing, right? Let's stick with the case in the Gemara of like these, certain fruit trees.
Oh, that's the question.
Yeah. Certain fruit trees, okay? Yeah. So certain fruit trees, right? I have to stop plowing around them by Shavuos, right? Okay. So the Gemara is saying that, and now why am I allowed to go ahead?
Tying in this random thing that doesn't really...
well, hold on. Why am I allowed to go ahead and plow the D'Oraisa Shemitah activity? Why am I allowed to do that prior to Shavuos? Because it's clear, what am I doing it for?
Year six,
right? In other words, it's clear. In other words, we can make up a point where my action is a sixth year action, or if you want to be more precise, a non seventh year action. So pick Shavuos, okay, right? So as long as it's a non sixth year action, it's mutter. But if it's a seventh year action, then it's usher. So how does that create the intertwining of the two without giving it the whole thing away? But think about what I just said. Think about that step. In other words, what the Gemara is saying now is that, let's get out of the halachic designation of D'Oraisa and D'Rabbanan and rather look at what? What are we looking at instead?
Sixth-year action versus seventh-year action.
Sixth-year action versus seventh-year action. Okay? Sixth-year action, which means what? Can we flesh that out a little bit?
Everything becomes a D'Rabbanan kind of, in a way. Like, there's no D'Oraisa, really.
How does halacha normally want to work? Halacha likes to work in nice, discrete categories. All right? It thinks usually in a very logical way. D'Oraisa, D'Rabbanan. That's an easy halachic designation. But unfortunately...
things either fall under the category of sixth-year actions or seventh-year.
So that means rather than give us objective halachic designations, what do we have instead? We let the context of the action define the very action itself. That's a very novel idea. Okay? We don't like that normally. Meaning, think about what halacha is doing. There's a harisha prior to Shavuos, and there's a harisha after Shavuos. What does that mean? It means that the context of the action tells you whether or not the action is permitted or not. That's a different kind of way of looking at a malacha. Okay, we don't like looking at a sermon such a way. We like objective categories. D'Oraisa D'Rabbanan.
But otherwise, we can't do whatever it is they're trying to do.
Of course, right. Here they're saying no. There's an idea of plowing, right? Plowing can actually have a permitted expression and a prohibited expression. In this case, what makes it prohibited versus permitted?
6 years.
Right, meaning is it nicker? Is it recognized that doing it for 6 year or seventh year? Okay. The Gemara is introducing us to a very different way of looking at these Isurim by Shemitah. Okay. Don't think of it in objective categories. D'Oraisa D'Rabbanan. Then you're not getting out of this problem. Look at it insofar as the context of the activity. Meaning if it's a six-year activity. A six-year activity redefines the very action itself as one is permitted. You understand? Or, in other words, put a different way, it's a bottom-up approach, not a top-down approach. Top-down approach is categories and work our way down. This is saying, well, let's look at the action, right? Not retroactive. Let's look at the action. And now, when you look at the action, now you work it back in to define where it fits in halakhically. Am I doing a six-year action? Oh, then Harish is mutter. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
A little different way of looking at things. Okay, good. So what does he say? Amar Rebbe Yosef.
Masisha Amrakin. We have a Mishnah that says the same thing.
Mizablin, Uma Adrin, Bimachos, Uva Midwados, Ad Rosh Hashanah, Bechain Beis Hashloch.
So it turns out that there's another Mishnah that openly says that you're allowed to go ahead and fertilize these zucchini on Rosh Hashanah. The Taniyala.
Right. We have a brisa that says Korshim Beis Hashloch and Ad Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, so we actually see two different Mishnayos that they linked it to.
Doesn't drag.
Rabbi Omer, Aleph Nei Rosh Hashanah Shlosha Yamin.
Okay, this is very tricky. So Rav Yosa says that from the Brisa that you can plow, right, until Rosh Hashanah. You can plow in this field, okay? Rebbe says no. He says you can plow in this type of field, odd.
3 days before.
3 days before, okay? So now, okay, on the surface, this seems like arbitrary. Why 3 days before? Right? One guy says until Rosh Hashanah, the other guy says until 3 days before. And now I know you guys are not farmers yet, but Right, but let's think about it for a second. Why is it strange to have a chumrah 3 days?
Because 3 days doesn't do anything.
3 days doesn't do anything, right? You guys ever planted before?
It's really kind of
yeah, like nothing happens. Even for like a science experiment with lima beans, I don't know if these guys still do that.
The wet paper towel.
Yeah. 3 days isn't going to do much. Okay, so what does the Gemara say? Kedei.
Kedei she is Rav Yashesh Vita Yashesh, so that you can plant and they take root.
Okay, now what's Vita? And also plant and take root.
Yes.
Now, if you guys know very carefully, zera, right? Zera refers to what kind of planting?
Seeding.
What's natia usually? Anyone know what's natia?
Natia.
Notea ilan. You plant a tree.
Like a small tree in the
there you go, like a sapling. Okay. So normally speaking, there's seed planting and then there's sapling planting. So the Gemara fine. So what do you see from there? So you see machlokas. Can I plow until Rosh Hashanah or 3 days before, right? Because you need time. Because 3 days before if it was closer, then what's going to happen? You want time prior for it to root into the ground. So the Gemara says, that's exactly what you guys asked.
3 days.
Yeah, if I put a sapling in the ground or whatever a seed, it's going to be 3 days for it to root into the ground. Now this is very strange, Rabbi Omer. Okay, so I'm not going to take this up. This is the old, I had my Gemara, there's a special Gemara eraser that only certain people get, and they're allowed to go ahead and erase something and replace it. He didn't say 3 days, he really said 3 months. Let's just put that to the side. Today, but what is he talking about? I'll tell you what he's talking about. Because you guys don't know this about rice. And by the way, I did look this up on Wikipedia and it's true. Okay, so because just to make sure, this isn't one of those like primitive agricultural things. So, you plant rice. Okay, now the way you plant rice is when you plant rice in its seed form, you bunch it all together, okay, and you wait. You wait for it to initially root. And then you know what you do?
Then you
uproot the rice. It has like little magical little roots. And then replant it more spread out. Okay? So that's what he meant. He meant that what do? You go ahead and plant uproot.
It's part of the process of making rice.
Correct. They would go through two steps of planting. There's a planting of the seed, uprooting it, and then replanting the sapling later on. What? Great, okay. So first of all, Rita is 3 months, and what's Rebbe saying? Rebbe's saying, Bemisha's right, he says, right, so you need 3 months for this to take place. And that's why I can plow until 3 months for Rosh Hashanah, because as long as I get those seeds in the ground before Rosh Hashanah, before the 3 months, I'm good to go. And then I can go ahead and plant, uproot, and then replant again. But if it's within 3 months, I can't do that. Okay? So, I have it in Hebrew. He says, "A Gemara ain't of Eres from name Ma Don Rebbe Dafka b'Misha Rotz Lizra Eres." Why does Rebbe only talk about rice? V'lo b'zorei aminis ramach erim. Amashuja pakos v'chadashim. Why not take up cases of other seeds that grow in less than 3 months? He says, "Because when it comes to planting vegetables, afim kvar yashusha b'shishis. This is important. If the vegetables are already rooted in the sixth year, halo im yigmar gidula mishvias, and he finished growing in the seventh year, b'yera kolkam akrei shnas likitaso." When it comes to vegetables, what determines whether a vegetable is a sixth year or seventh year vegetable? Not when it roots into the ground, but when?
It pops up.
When you... What's Lakita?
Starts.
What's Lakita?
If it,
Right, when you pick it. When you harvest it. Yeah, lek it. Come on. When you harvest it.
Leave it on the vine for an entire...
So we say, what makes the rice case so novel? It makes it so novel because by vegetables, it goes by lakita. But not by, what do you call it? Not by orez. Orez, we go when they root.
Plants that aren't vegetables.
You're right. So you can, no, that's true. But you can extend it. Okay, good.
Like,
that's true.
Or rice. Like,
okay, that's true. That's true. Okay.
Like just like wheat or something.
Right. So let's just review. So what's the machlokas here? Factually, what's the machlokas? Again, this is all about working through the facts, which are hard, to get to the main issue. What's the machlokas here factually? Not conceptually. What's the machlokas? Rav Yosa says, I can go ahead and plant, let's say, rice. Until when? Until Rosh Hashanah, right? And Rebbe says, no. He says, 3 months. 3 months, using the orez as our example. Meaning, according to Rav Yosa, I could plant my rice a week before Rosh Hashanah and uproot and plant again, right? So what's the machlokas? What makes more sense?
3 months.
Why?
Because if it's before 3 months, then it's like clearly like for the 6th year,
for the 7th year.
It's going to be.
It has the same quality.
I ask you, there are two ways you could look at when something is defined as being rooted into the ground. That's your starting point. What's the easiest way to define rooting?
Has roots.
The roots.
Physically right, but Rav Yossi says I can plant it all the way until Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because what's he going to say? What happens the moment I stick the seed into the ground?
Is rooted.
Okay, meaning what? Do I have to actually have physical evidence of...
Is it rooted or does it...
No, what do you mean? No, don't give up.
It's like it's growing.
Good.
The process of it...
Excellent. Okay. So that's simple. The moment I take a seed of rice and put it in the ground, what automatically is starting to happen? The process of rooting has begun. Okay? That's just a question of when the roots actually express themselves. But that's what happens, right?
The question, does it have to be a stage one or a stage...
But that's two. That's too discreet. Okay? You're right, but... Let's get better. That's what Rubiosa is easier. Rubiosa is going to say that the moment I plant something is the moment I can say the process of rooting has begun. But that's not what Rebbe says. And listen to Rebbe's case. Rebbe's case is fascinating because what do you do? You plant, root, uproot, plant again. Why would he want that? What's the first thing we see, the obvious thing that makes Rebbe different than Rubiosa? What does he require? Well, that's the time, but therefore, because what do you have in 3 months? What do you see for sure?
Root, physical roots.
Good. You need physical evidence of rooting. Physical rooting is not a process.
It's a result.
It's a result. Okay, but it's not enough for him. Not enough. He wants more. That's why the Oris case is such a beautiful case. Because if that were true, then the Oris case wouldn't matter because just the fact that I planted it and it demonstrated roots.
Regardless.
Why is it so important, the uprooting and replanting?
To check.
It has to be in its permanent space.
Yes, yeah,
which permanent. Demonstrates what about the orez? That it is?
Rooted.
Not just that. Yes, you're right. But it rooted already. It's evidence. There's evidence that roots came out.
Rooted in the sense not like, roots, but in the sense that it is... The roots kind of signify...
He wouldn't have to do that.
Bro, this is where it will develop.
But okay, but he had that before, though.
The essential feature of roots is that they provide stability to the plant. So if it's an inherently unstable place, then it's not rooted yet.
I know. No, you're right. So that's even right. It's even worse. So why would you think... In other words, it already demonstrated that it's rooted by the fact that it grew roots. That's physical evidence. It goes by the result. Good chakira.
No, but you're...
But the fact that you're moving it, so why is that, I would say it's a positive, not a negative to rooting.
What about like with an avocado? Don't you put it...
What does that tell us about the rice? That
rice
it is what?
For 6th year.
No, it's planted on the...
That is for the...
6th year.
If it's within 3 months...
No, but it's before. In other words...
That's part of what I said earlier, like the... In the same way that before Horatius stopped it, should
have... Yeah. Right. Here we don't have a time. Here we have an action. But the point is, it's that if he does it beforehand, not only is he demonstrated the thing is rooted, because it goes by the result, but it's another action you do to clearly demonstrate that this is a 60-year thing. Right? That's why the uprooting and replanting is so important. You understand? So there's the...
But then let's say it was wheat.
Forget the 6-year point. That you don't even need that. The main machlokas, once again, I've showed you, is a very simple machlokas. It's hard to get to this information, but the machlokas is very simple. What is rooting defined as a process? The moment I plant it, it's starting to root? Or does it go by the result? Right? Does it go by the result? Meaning I have to see physical evidence of roots to say this thing is rooted into the ground.